Hey, welcome back, everybody. Time once again for this journey we call Living Hope. The journey with pancreatic cancer. For those who deal with it on a daily basis. Like our host with the most. I'm sounding like an old DJ here. Roberta, help me out here.
I don't know the most what, but okay.
Roberta, the host with the most, right?
Most
information. We'll put it that way.
Okay, I like that.
Most information today. You're going to talk about a topic today. The topic is, I don't even know, nobody tuned in because they were like, what is that topic? It is cancer ghosting. So you're going to bring in your guest and tell us what the heck that is.
Yes, I am. And joining me today to talk about that is Nick Clifford. He's the manager of patient education at the Pancreatic Cancer Action Network, most fondly called PanCAN to make it a little bit easier. And he's going to talk to us a little bit and we're going to find out exactly what cancer ghosting is. Thank you, Nick, for joining us. I know you're all the way in Washington, D.C., so we're really happy to have you. So thank you.
Yeah, such a pleasure to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Yes. Can you just tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do at PanCAN?
Yeah, so my name is Nick Clifford. I work for PanCAN, as thanks to our lovely introduction. So I basically help manage all of our educational resources at PanCAN. So that's everything that our case managers give to our patients, our constituents, our loved ones that call in asking for help and support. All the materials that are handed to them are things that I write, or at least help write. I manage their scientific accuracy and their lay understanding for everybody. So it really is such a great job to have because I get to talk to people like you every day and help bring support to people who need it.
Wow, that's a lot on your plate. You must have a really big plate. That's a lot to do. How do you manage it all? That really is quite extensive because they have some really great information and it's always up to date. I always say anything you need is at patient services at PanCAN. So thank you for all you do. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. And it's a good thing that it's hard to keep up with because that means that there's research advancements and things actually going on in the field to update our constituents with. So a good problem.
Yeah, it is because we need that. Maybe sometime we'll have to have you come back and just talk about the research because it's very interesting what's happening.
It is.
And I know people really want to know what's going on with it because especially in today's time. So we'll have you come back and talk about that. But I did want to talk about cancer ghosting. I had saw it on, there was an article on PanCAN's website and I read it and I thought, oh, good Lord, I went through that and didn't even know it had a name. When I was diagnosed 23 years ago, I experienced that. And it was quite surprising, to be honest with you, because you tell somebody that you have this disease and their reaction, and then to lose whatever you had with them, it was really hard. But like I said, I didn't know until I read this article that there was even, that it was a thing or that it even had a name. So maybe you can tell us a little bit, how does PanCAN define cancer ghosting and what is it exactly?
So people may be familiar with the term ghosting from mostly the dating world, at least Gen Z, that generation in their dating life. Ghosting in dating is when, you know, you're with somebody and then all of a sudden they drop off the face of the earth like a ghost. They've disappeared. In cancer, it can be a similar experience. And from what you talked about, Roberta, during your journey, you've experienced this. And in cancer, it's usually not that they've disappeared completely, but there's just this distance that begins growing from your friends and loved ones that feels uncomfortable. It feels lonely. It doesn't feel good. And for someone who is already going through a disease like pancreatic cancer, that can just make things all the more difficult, especially because support from the people around you, not only the healthcare providers, is one of the most important things that someone living with cancer needs.
Yeah, and it really was. It was, I think, because I was asking myself, what did I do? What did I say? Because sometimes my filters don't work properly, but I was trying to figure out did I hurt them in some way? And why suddenly they were contacting me or we were getting together and seeing them. And then some of it stopped suddenly and some was very slow in progression.
Yeah.
Why, and I think it's important to bring awareness to this because I said I never knew what it was or that it was something for it. Why do you feel it's important that we bring awareness to cancer ghosting?
I think for exactly the reason you talked about earlier, once if something has a name to it, like cancer ghosting, it makes it easier to talk about, and it makes it easier for people to commiserate about it, to talk to one another about it, to support each other, to have a term where we could have an entire podcast about it. It's not this nebulous thing anymore whenever we name it. And that is really helpful for people. And for something like cancer ghosting, which is caused mostly by just people unsure or nervous or anxious about how to talk about all of the big feelings that come with a cancer diagnosis, sometimes it just feels easier to just step away or ghost. And as hurtful as it might be, it's usually not intentional, but that doesn't take away the emotional toll that you yourself, Roberta, and many others have experienced due to cancer ghosting. So important to name something, and something that's so based on big emotions, it's important to talk about too. So I think it's a really great thing to just spread it far and wide.
Yeah, I think putting in a name to it does make a difference, because it's something that you know and you're describing, but you don't know how to describe it or talk to somebody about it. Mm-hmm. But when you can say cancer ghosting, like you said, I think first thing people are going to think about, of course, is the dating part of it. Mm-hmm. But we're dating cancer, and for me, it was what was difficult. Some of them was like suddenly they just stopped, and others it was slow. But if you want to talk to them about it, because like I said, you want to find out, I'm sorry, what did I do? Did I offend you in some way or what? And it was odd, because I did finally come out and I talked to a couple and asked them, what's going on? We used to be so close. What happened? And the answer I got really, I think, was like a punch, a new punch. It's like they said, you're going to be dying, so we want to distance ourselves now. Then maybe that'll make, when you're gone, it'll make it a little bit easier. Oh. And I thought, oh, wow, that was, like I said, that was like almost as bad as hearing the news when they tell you that you have cancer.
Yeah.
Do you have other survivors or patients that have talked to you about this at all? Have they brought it out at all?
Yeah, anecdotally, people call in all the time and they wonder why. They might not even know that it's happening to them. It may manifest as someone calling PanCan and saying, I haven't heard from this friend in a while and it's really stressing me out. That could be cancer ghosting. So we do hear about that for sure. And people call in and they're very stressed about it. And it's because they feel these support systems around them just collapsing. And that is, I can only imagine how scary that is.
Yeah. I think Paul has a question or comment.
I'm reminded a couple of conversations we've had earlier on other episodes where people have talked about different reasons. Can you list some of the different reasons you've heard? That's a wild one. I'm just going to start mentally cutting you off now, because that's the only way I'm going to face with your eventual leaving here. You could do that for everybody in life. Everybody's going to leave in life, so I better not talk to anybody. But the other, you've said sometimes the crazy things, like maybe people think I'm going to get it or other things like that. Or I would think it would be mostly, if I did it, and I'm sorry to say, I probably would be one of those that might do it, because mm-hmm. I don't know what to say.
Yeah,
it's just it's hard to face.
That is probably by far, obviously it's hard to study these things, but that is probably by far the number one reason. Cancer is such a big deal, of course, let alone pancreatic cancer. It speaks to the universality of the disease when someone gets it, because it impacts your family, your friends, even your coworkers, because they know you have it. Or they know you're living with it. So it's just so much to deal with, and they don't know how to talk about it. They don't know how to use the right words to explain or talk about the hard things that come with talking about cancer. End of life, like pain, family history, if you've had people in the past live with cancer. So it's all of these swirling emotions that just add up together.
So somebody should do a really video difficult. Or a brochure or maybe a training, something that offers people, how do you talk to somebody when they tell you they got cancer?
Yeah, that would be part of something that would be really good, because I remember sitting down, and when I was telling people of my diagnosis, I was actually apologizing, which mostly because I think of their reaction, because I felt bad for them, so that I'm apologizing for having to give them this news. And I have had people tell me, don't get too close, because I don't want to catch it. And you have to explain, I'm sorry, but this isn't catchy. Yes, you can drink my water bottle. You can touch my things. You're not going to catch it. But I think what I heard mostly was just they were thinking, because you hear nobody survives pancreatic cancer. So they were thinking, okay, you're going to die. So I need to start slowly shutting myself down now, hoping that it would hurt less when it happens. I'm not really sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, so what advice do you give people when they do call and say, okay, this is happening? Do you tell them what sounds like you're being cancer ghosted, or what exactly do you say to somebody?
I think the best tips we can give people.
He doesn't answer their phone call. They call for answers. He doesn't call them back.
I leave that to our lovely case managers. They are phone people. I encourage everyone too, if you're listening and you have more questions about this, to call our lovely case managers. They have all the information you need. The kind of tips we offer for people is, one, communicate early and often with your loved one. And it goes both ways. If you have people in your life who are close and you've just been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, talk to your loved ones and friends and let them know how you like to communicate about cancer. At the same time, friends and family, loved ones, if someone you're close to has just been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, talk to them. Just be clear. Just be open. Tell them how talking about cancer is uncomfortable and it's hard to find the right words to say. But above all, offer your compassionate and loving support. And even if that feels uncomfortable, let them know, hey, I don't quite know the right words to say or how I can best support you, but I want you to know that I'm here for you. And that can make all the difference. So talking early and often about it, communication is so important. And of course, we always encourage people to talk to their healthcare providers or social workers that are part of your healthcare team. They might have some specific advice too, based on your.
I got to throw in one more idea here that Roberta had brought up once before, which is, with this fear that your family's going to cut you off, that you're going to put them through some kind of pain, that they're not going to want to talk to you anymore or be around you, would that be a reason people with pancreatic cancer don't tell people? You said you delayed telling people.
Yeah, I did. I delayed for, I won't say how long, a number of years.
She's looking at her husband, Vic, who's sitting here, who made her come clean.
Yes, he made me come clean. Because the first reaction I got, he's holding up six fingers, so it was 6 years it took me to come out and talk about it. But it was because the reaction I got, I went to a support group, and this is supposed to be a support group. And everybody goes around the table and they introduce themselves and say what kind of cancer they have. And as it was going around, everybody was clapping and congratulating them and whatnot. And when it came to me and I said pancreatic, their clap stopped in midair and they just looked at me and didn't know how to react. And I have a very vivid imagination, apparently, because I pictured them digging my grave, putting me in and covering me up. It was like, I'm not going back to a support group. And I felt it's enough to have to deal with this. I'd already lost my dad. I had lost three family members to it before my own diagnosis, and then my mom afterwards. I didn't get much good from the support group, though I must say support groups have changed since then, I'm happy to say. But that was why I stayed quiet, is just because of the reaction of others. Yeah. And it wasn't until my first advocacy day with PanCan that kind of changed. Mm-hmm. And like I said, Vic forcing me to own up to it. But do you hear from others, you know, why they, or do you know why people maybe do ghost once they hear about this diagnosis?
Yeah. Do you mean the cancer patient themselves?
Yes.
Or the family?
Both.
Yeah. So I think just in American culture or just in our country, we do not talk about hard topics as we should. So that's just underlying in all of us in this country.
No negative news, nothing but positive all the time.
Right.
Everything's great. Hey, you look great.
Right.
I'm feeling great. How's life? How are you doing? I'm great. How are you? I'm great.
That's right. And as someone who came from a very emotionally repressed Irish Catholic household.
Oh, now you're talking to me. I got it started here.
Now you're talking to me directly. Okay.
Yeah. So we all know what that's like. You shouldn't force people to have any conversation that they don't want to. Based on the relationships you have with them, you can call people that are like PanCan and get tips. And that not only helps the person because you're getting tips, it also helps them because you yourself on the phone talking to a case manager, you're also learning how to talk about it out loud. And poor Roberta waited 6 years to spread the word. I don't blame you, Roberta, because another reason people might ghost, both the patient and the caregiver, is because there's a stigma around serious illness in our society. People think that most things are contagious, like we talked about earlier, but there's a fear of doctors. There's the fear of medical equipment. There's a fear of sitting with someone who's wearing a mask or using oxygen or is losing their hair, all very natural and normal parts of the cancer journey. So just having those conversations. It all boils down to communication. If I could just put it on the marquee on this podcast episode, communication on the marquee.
Yeah, it was hard. Like I said, I could talk about my dad and his family, but I couldn't discuss my own. In fact, I said, and PanCan was shocked when they found out because I was there for my family. So it was quite a shock for them as well. But do you does cancer ghosting, does that affect the patient as far as their treatment effects or how they go into treatment? Does that have any effect, do you know?
Yeah, I think like we talked about earlier, we talked about how the support system is so important. And there's literature to support that people who are facing a serious illness or living with something like pancreatic cancer, they do better if they have a strong support system around them. If you're going to treatment and you have a friend to come with you, you have a loved one to go to appointments with you, you have friends to talk on the phone, or even people like PanCan to talk on the phone with about your diagnosis, you will do better. You might do better. And the data supports that strong support systems do help when going through this journey. So that really, it makes me feel for people who do not have those support systems around them, who are looking for those safety nets around them that don't have them. So it might be that the person who is ghosting their loved one with cancer, it might be that person is the only one they have in their life. I would encourage anyone, if you felt like growing a distance between you and someone with cancer, to reach out, even if it's just a text. It may make a big difference.
Somebody told me when I haven't gone through what you've gone through, but just losing family members, your parents dying. Mm-hmm. And I was stunned how people suddenly even ghosted me from that, didn't want to hear about it, didn't want to talk about it. I'm sorry your mom died, let's get on to the next subject here. Didn't want to come to the funeral. Didn't want people I'd known for years. Oh, I can't do funerals. I can't handle all this stuff. We live in this artificial bubble where we can't seem to take anything negative or down. Everything's got to be up. When Roberta started this podcast, I thought, how are we going to talk about this week? Nobody's going to listen to this. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. This isn't going to fly. We can't have these conversations.
He gave me 3 months.
Yeah, exactly.
I think we're going on 4 years.
Then she started calling me for the next show, and I was ghosting her. She didn't get the picture.
Podcast ghosting is a real thing. Yeah.
Why are we so afraid to talk about life and death? We can't even use the word death. That's my...
Yeah,
so
I'm all with you. And I studied in graduate school. My master's degree is in palliative care and thanatology, which thanatology is the study of death and dying. And you know, you find that whenever you tackle these difficult subjects head on, it's actually really empowering because you sit back and you think, wow, I just had a conversation with Roberta and Paul. We talked about pancreatic cancer, and we were able to get a few laughs in.
Yeah, exactly. And you still use the D word. Yeah, we still talked about death or problems or whatever. Difficulty, because why we can't talk about difficult things? That seems to be our problem, they say.
That's why people like Roberta and people living with pancreatic cancer who we talk to every day are so inspiring, because what they do every single day is they find meaning in their diagnosis. That meaning could be as small as picking up a new hobby, and that meaning could be as big as starting a podcast or volunteering for PanCan, all of these things. We can replace that feeling of dread with a sense of action.
Well, that's what Roberta always said. I'm not talking about Roberta here, but you've said this repeatedly, where you said somehow you feel powerless. Somebody just told you you've got a deadly disease. There's nothing you can do about it at this point in time.
Yeah.
So you go out and you say, I'm going to find something, I'm going to do something, I'm going to fight it, I'm going to beat it, whatever. There aren't many things. Maybe just talking about it does empowers you and cathartic to acknowledge the difficulties ahead and to discuss it openly.
Yeah, I think it helps because you do. Once you hear that, you feel like you lose all control.
Right.
This cancer suddenly controls everything. Your medical staff suddenly controls everything, and you just lose it somewhere along the way. You lose who you are. You become a cancer patient or a cancer survivor. And that's not exactly how I want to first be described.
And that's why people ghost too. That's another reason is I think some people who haven't lived with cancer think that's all that they'll talk about with their loved one once they have cancer.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
And that's just not the case. Roberta lived with pancreatic cancer, is on this journey. But Roberta still has favorite shows, and she still has hobbies that she loves and a husky that she loves. So people that are listening, if you feel that distance growing, if you're a loved one and you feel like you might be ghosting your loved one with cancer, you don't have to talk about the cancer with them. Laugh with your friend as you always did. Cry with them if you need to. Go to a movie, go bowling, or sit and watch TV together. People who get diagnosed with cancer, they often say that it feels like it's become their whole identity. And I don't blame them, because all of a sudden you get diagnosed and then you're being carted from one appointment to the next. You're going to the infusion center. People like me give advice, like they say, go talk to a social worker, your healthcare provider. And you're thinking, I talk to them enough. Why would I want to do that? I just want to sit at home in peace and quiet. Reach out to your friend. Go bowling.
I hate to admit this. I'm gonna throw myself under the bus. Well, my late mother, who was a great person, very positive, upbeat person, but when she got Parkinson's disease, and as that progressed, that became her whole life, and that's all she talked about. That was her focus, morning, noon, and night. And I remember visiting her once, and she, again, started laying in about the problem and this and everything. All day long, that's all we talked about. I finally got mad at her. I said, knock it off. Let's go see a movie. Let's do something. Let's drop that subject for 5 minutes here. But it did become over, and I can't imagine what it was like. She's seeing her. She was frightened. She was shaking. She was falling. She was doing all these things.
Yeah. All of a sudden, you feel like this body you're in has betrayed you.
Yeah.
There's all these complicated
emotions.
And she
didn't want to go out, and nobody should see her, and she became reclusive. And so she herself, without knowing it, we didn't call it ghosting, then drove people away.
It was ghosting. She just didn't realize she was doing it.
Yeah.
And the patient is doing it. Yeah.
Which is just fascinating.
And it's not just you. It also affects your family. It's funny, because when you get that diagnosis, people do change towards you. They don't want to argue with you anymore. And I'm all about, you know what? I'm not always right. You're okay to argue with me. You don't have to agree with everything I say or do. Because you want to, you don't want that to become your whole life. Right. And even like for my husband, Vic, his, I don't want to say escape, but I will, was to go to work and not have to talk about it and deal with it. And it was difficult for the family as well. People would ask our sons, how's your mom doing? It's like, they go somewhere. They don't want to think about it either. So it makes it really difficult. Mm-hmm. I guess even the caregivers and maybe even the patients do the ghosting too, but...
So it should be part of a conversation, but not the whole conversation.
Yeah, it's fine. Ask if you, or maybe let the patient or survivor take the lead as far as, do they want to talk about their health? I think most of my family and friends now know me well enough where they know they actually can even look at me or hear me talk and know how I'm feeling. So that helps a great deal. So I don't really have to do it, but let them maybe take the lead. And I know you were saying other ways maybe to reach out. And nowadays, I know a lot of people don't like it, but there is texting.
Yeah.
If you don't want to pick up the phone for whatever reason, because,
so
you know,
put
it's
at arm's length.
Yeah, just to start. Maybe that'll start warm things up. Is just send a text like I will do sometimes to somebody to say, I'm thinking of you. How are you? And then let it go from there, because they're going to take it up and either want to talk or just say, I'm fine. And then we know to drop it.
And you may just find that if you feel like you've ghosted someone and you're afraid to reach back out, you may just find that being honest with them about how you didn't know what to say, it was a lot of emotions, you might just be able to relate to one another and have a really nice conversation about what this diagnosis means. But also, you may be able to grow your friendship to a deeper level.
You want us to be honest? Who does that?
Yeah. Imagine that. I'm one to talk, but
We try, but it's hard.
We try.
I don't want to ghost this conversation, but we're running out of time here.
All
any
right.
final points or tips or thoughts or places to go? I think just talking about it is a big help. I don't think anybody's I didn't think about
Absolutely.
This.
Yeah, but any last words of encouragement or anything you can give our listeners?
I would, of course, encourage everyone listening, if you have more questions, to call PanCan. What would I do here without mentioning PanCan? You gotta, because we're really helpful and the case managers are really great.
And but we'll give out that phone number in a second here.
Yeah, yep. And if you find yourself in this situation, if you're either the person living with cancer or the person who might be ghosting someone with cancer, I encourage you to start thinking about it. Start practicing talking about it. Look in the mirror. Talk to yourself. It's okay. Nobody's watching.
That's interesting. I would never think of that. Just to have a conversation with yourself in the mirror.
Sure, why not? I talk to myself all the time.
Yeah. it's all about getting used to talking to these really difficult topics. Just putting it out into the air is difficult enough. So practice makes perfect. Communicate top lines of this conversation.
Thank you for joining us today. And also, I want to thank all the patients. I'm so sorry that you've changed your name so many times. Thank everybody at Patient Central because, and I think I did it again, didn't I?
Patient Central? Is that what they call it now?
They used services. To be
Patient Central. Services.
I'm sorry, they've changed a few times. Patient Services because they've helped me a lot through the years. And I have to say, because I've been there for so long, I've been through a number of them, but every one of them has been so wonderful. And I really don't know how you all do it because it's a lot to answer to and to do. So
they just ghost
thank
everybody.
You so much.
They don't call.
Yeah, right. No, they don't ghost. They don't ghost anybody. They return their calls and emails very quickly.
Sure,
so
always.
Yes, you do. So thank you so much for that. As long as you speak my name, I shall live forever is dedicated to David Tiny Hernandez. Thank you.
There you have it. One more reason to tune in each and every time. Don't be a ghost. Join the conversation. Our weekly journey designed to provide hope, inspiration, education, and sometimes maybe open your eyes to how to deal with this and talk about it. Right here on our journey we call Living Hope. And if you need a little living hope or some help on any of these topics, as we said, there are places to go. We'll give you one of them right here. You can call Patient Services at 877-2-PANCAN. That's 877-2. PANCAN for the Pancreatic Cancer Action Network. And for the OC Talk Radio Network, I'm Paul Roberts, thanking you for joining us. Hoping you'll talk about this with somebody today here. Let's start a conversation, see if we can help everybody through this journey here. Right here on our journey at Applied Innovation Center.